Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Kiwi Jr. is a band that calls Toronto, Ontario home, consisting of vocalist, lyricist, and guitarist Jeremy Gaudette, drummer Brohan Moore, guitarist Brian Murphy, and bassist Mike Walker. Kiwi Jr.'s members all hail from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, where each played in different bands. Once they all moved to Toronto, they began jamming and playing shows, and Kiwi Jr.'s unique brand of clever guitar rock was born. The band's latest album is called Football Money, and is out now via Mint Records. And so I caught up with the whole band in Toronto recently for a conversation about Charlottetown, Toronto, and the new Ho King restaurant. Lyrical themes on Football Money, the band Pavement, and the hip-hop artist Kanye West, making guitar rock in the year 2019, writing more political songs, their next album, and more. With the support of listeners like you who subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly pledges at patreon.com/creativecontrol, plus in-kind support from CFRU 93.3 FM, Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 473rd episode of Creative Control, featuring the excellent Kiwi Jr. with your host, me, Vish Khanna.
Is a hard act to follow. A million wacky races running through the hall. Oh yeah, a million pocket spaces filling up tomorrow. A million people's faces is a hard act to follow.
Hi guys, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. It's nice to be. Whose house are we in?
We're in my place.
Who are
this
you?
This is Mike. Hi.
Mike, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you on the show. Mike, thanks for having us in your home.
Thanks for coming.
Do you
really
live
appreciate it?
Do you have the whole place?
No, absolutely not. I wish. No, it's divided into 8 units.
Eight?
I know, right? You wouldn't expect
But you have this whole first floor?
There's this first floor, which that's, the half of the first floor kind of thing. It gets divided again at the back.
Again?
You're in the nicest part.
Oh, okay. It's like we're at a dining table. I feel like we're in like a nice little part of town, and it seems really good. Awesome. So thanks for having us, Mike. And you, sir?
Jeremy,
nice to meet you. Have we met before?
Yeah.
Oh,
for
shit.
Sure. But
I forgot. Where have we met?
I think we actually did a couple of interviews like 10 years ago, maybe.
Get out of town. We did interviews?
Yeah. My old band, I think.
What's your old band?
Boxer the Horse. I don't know if you remember the name.
Oh, okay. From Charlottetown. No?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, for sure.
So what was that when I worked at Radio 3?
Yeah.
CBC Radio 3. Okay. Did we meet in person?
No, just on the phone.
That's why I don't recognize you. That makes sense. Okay, yeah. Well, it's nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too,
and,
man.
Well, I mean, it's nice to see you, I guess is what I meant to say, and not be on the phone. This is awkward. I'm moving on. What's your name, sir?
I'm Broen.
Broen, nice to meet you.
Nice
meet
to you.
You, or have we met before and I'm embarrassing myself?
No, I think this is the first time we've ever met.
And where are you from?
We're all from Charlottetown.
You're all from Charlottetown.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Cornwall. I'm from Cornwall. Well, actually, Wilmot Valley, if you want True Blue, yeah.
Parkdale, if we're getting specific.
Yeah,
we're in Parkdale, Toronto right now?
Parkdale, PEI, though, is where
there's actually a reference. I didn't even get that. We're not in Parkdale at all in Toronto.
No.
I just realized that. I was in Parkdale earlier, and I got confused. Anyway, nice to have you on the show as well.
Thank you for having us.
My name's Brian. I'm from Charlottetown. Charlottetown.
Brian's from Charlottetown proper.
And have I encountered you before?
I think we've met in passing, but very briefly once before.
Well, it's
maybe
nice.
At Hillside Festival.
Oh, have you been there?
Yeah.
Why would you have been at Hillside?
I was playing there years ago with a different outfit.
Are you still in that outfit?
Yeah.
What's that outfit?
Always.
Always. Okay. You're also in the band Always. But are they from PEI, per se?
The female singers are from Cape Breton.
Right.
And Alec, who's a good friend of all of ours, is from Charlottetown.
Right. Alec used to play in 2 Hours Traffic.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. And he's in Always with you.
That's right.
Well, I thought Always was always busy. You have time to meet with me on a Friday night?
No, we got some time off. It's nice.
Oh, okay,
you know, we kind of took the winter off. But yeah.
Okay, good. Well, it's nice to have you all on the show. I'm a big fan of your new record, which on my machine tells me is self-titled, but it's actually called Football Money. Is that the name of the record?
What machine is this?
It's my phone. It says whenever the metadata comes up, it says Kiwi Junior by Kiwi Junior. Yeah. Do you want to see it? You
no,
don't want
I
to see it. I'm going to ruin your night.
We'll fix it.
But then in quotes, it says Football Money somewhere.
Yeah, that's
on the
name of the record.
Yeah, okay. So it's nice to have you. So why don't we begin with how the band began, and then I'll ask you questions about the record, and we'll talk about the drinks we're having and anything else you want to talk about. So why don't we start over here? Why don't you tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, just because so we'll go in order, how do you think this band started? What do you think? And if anyone wants to fact check, that would be great.
Mike's going to get roasted.
Absolutely. Send me up first.
Johnny,
that's just torturous.
Should you not go first?
No. It's... Yeah, sure, why not? I was the last member to arrive in Toronto.
Okay.
Not the last one to start playing with the band, but the last one to move here from the East Coast. I've been in a few different places before that. But then when I moved up, Broen and Jeremy were, itching to play some music. So that was basically how it started. I was here for maybe a month, and we were talking on a patio.
Yeah,
about
Broen
some
and
music.
We already established that we're all from the same place and stuff, but Broen and I were here. Neither of us were in bands anymore, and we talked about, let's jam and stuff. And then we happened to mention to Brian that we were playing together, and he said, who just moved here this weekend is Mike Walker. You should get him to play bass. And I was like, oh, shit. I haven't seen Mike in, 2 years.
Wouldn't you, leaving Charlottetown for Toronto, wouldn't there have been a bulletin that goes out to all Charlottetowners,
exactly,
wherever they are, to be like, hey.
They take the population sign and dock it down by one.
By one.
It's 38,900.
There was no post on PIlocals.com.
No, there was nothing. No. Okay. You just showed up and somehow word got around. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, we've all been in bands in PEI, right? We're all in our 30s now.
Yeah.
So we've, all been in our 20s in other bands in the Maritimes and stuff.
Have you all played in the same bands?
No, never before.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
So that's what I mean. It's my old band used to play with Mike's old band. We used to play with Broen's old band and, Brian, blah, blah, blah. It's also, can I just establish it's funny that Broen and Brian are sharing a mic, and their names are Broen and Brian.
Yeah, it's like the morning show that never was.
Broen is the Gaelic version of Brian.
It's like Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
What is Brian the form of? Is it something? Is it, what's the origin of?
I'm not sure.
You're named after Brian Mulrooney.
More modernized.
Are you named after Brian Mulrooney?
When I was a kid, actually, because my dad was in politics. When I was a kid, my dad trained me to say that Brian Mulrooney was a buffoon.
Oh.
And
that quite the opposite.
Yeah. No, I was very anti-Mulrooney.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Even as a four-year-old.
I was going to bring that up in half an hour, but I'm glad we figured that out. Okay. All right. So PEI, I feel like it's at some level a lesser-known musical region in our country. We've, over the last 20, 25 years, learned a lot more about Halifax. St. John's has made an impact. Who are some of the big people that have come out of PEI or Charlottetown? Can anyone name prominent people?
Well, I think, I don't know about prominent, but I think that like 10, 15 years ago, like we were all in our early 20s, late teens, and we were all in bands at the time.
Yeah.
And there was a really kick-ass rock scene there. Like Browen's band, The Danks, who Alec from Always was
also
in.
Yeah, I remember The Danks, yeah.
Yeah, The Danks and my old band, Box of the Horse, and Mike's old band. You know, and other bands like Smothered and Hugs and the Robots is great. Yeah, and like there was a scene there for sure.
Kind of an indie rock type scene.
Totally.
Isn't there like a giant person from Charlottetown that we were forgetting right now? Somebody?
No,
Stompin' Tom.
Maybe Stompin' Tom comes to mind. You didn't mention Stompin' Tom at all.
But he's not from Charlottetown.
He's from Skinner's Pond.
Oh, sorry. Okay, but he's from PEI.
Kind of.
Anybody else? Is there somebody else that we should know?
I mean, from Charlottetown proper, like not really.
No, okay. You forsake. No one else of any note.
I don't know, man.
You know, you move away from a place like Charlottetown, I imagine some people are like, why those guys leave? But you're proud of being from Charlottetown. They're proud of you for making it.
I mean, I gotta put aside the narrative that we kind of all left Charlottetown to pursue music.
Oh, okay.
Which is something that, like, you know, in other interviews that we've done, always comes up. It's like, you're all from Charlottetown, you moved to Toronto, and here's your record and stuff. We have to kind of set the record straight in that we all moved to Charlottetown at different points over the past 15 years.
Yeah.
And there was no band and nothing. We just were already friends. And we just ended up here.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
All right. Hey, don't get defensive with me. I didn't accuse you of anything. I'm just trying to establish some facts here.
It's getting heated.
This is your platform to air your grievances and the facts. That's right.
I suppose so.
You have made a point, I think, on this record, Football Money, of, I think, talking a little bit, if not a lot, about Toronto. Is that fair?
There seems
to be a lot of regionalism about Toronto.
I would agree with that.
Now, who are the primary songwriters in the band?
I write all the lyrics.
You write all the lyrics. And yes. Who's the primary? There's a few singers, or?
I sing lead.
Yeah.
And Mike, I think, does most of the backup vocals on the record. Brian and Broen also do some backup vocals.
So you're singing all the songs lead. You're singing lead on all
straight
the songs.
Straight from my heart.
There's a couple of times where I feel like Swimming Pool, I thought maybe that's not you, but
That's me being tender.
Yeah, it's like a tender, it's a different voice. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
For sure.
So, how long have you lived in Toronto?
Since 2013.
13, oh, okay. And you've already established, I mean, that's 6 years. That's a long time,
yeah,
actually.
That's long
okay,
enough,
so
right.
you do you like it?
Yeah, of course.
Everybody around the table, whoever wants to speak to this, primary difference between Charlottetown and Toronto. You have 3 seconds to answer.
Well, I'll just say, I don't think any of us moved straight from Charlottetown to Toronto, except maybe Brian.
Yeah, I did.
Like 15 years ago.
I came here right after high school.
So you're hardened now. You're a hardened Torontonian.
Very, very hardened.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Like Brian remembers when Dundas West was like mainly Portuguese hardware stores.
Yeah.
There was no Get Well. No brunch places.
The Dakota Tavern was the Trin Port Club and all that stuff.
Right. Like, okay.
I lived at Dundas and Lisgar. And I remember if you walked up to Dundas, you would never dream of turning left. Like, you would never think about going further west.
Right.
Because there's just nothing.
Right. So, okay. So you've been here. To the point that was raised, though, did you move here 15 years ago for music reasons?
Yeah, I went to U of T.
You went to U of T
I
for
came here,
music.
I came here right after high school and went to U of T for 3 years.
Okay. So you weren't necessarily, you didn't have a band.
No.
You were studying music.
Yeah.
And what's your primary instrument?
Guitar.
You went to university for guitar. That is a level of commitment to the instrument that most people don't
yeah,
have.
I was kind of like pressured into it, and we don't need to talk about it.
Pressured? I know you don't want to talk about it, but pressured by whom?
High school teachers and whatnot.
You let your high school teachers push you around in Charlottetown? That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I was a naive.
This is like a, what's that movie that came out with the drummer?
Oh, Whiplash.
Yeah, this is yeah. a Whiplash.
I was a product of, yeah, or was the precursor to Whiplash.
Not my tempo.
It ruined me.
He's the pressure to wear a three-piece suit.
Did you actually make it through your degree, though?
No.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No. Okay. I couldn't stand it.
Well, what didn't you like about it?
Just like music as an education was a little bit strange, like a formal education, rather. You know, I spent most of my time in front of a textbook than with an instrument in my hand.
Oh, I see.
I always thought
right.
that was kind of strange. I would much rather just like get together with friends and play music. I think that's the best way to go about it.
But okay. Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I'm just curious about foundationally where you guys have commonalities. I'm listening to the record and I'm hearing influences that speak to me, that speak to my interests as well. And I'm wondering, since you didn't grow up playing in a band together and you all seem to have galvanized here, do you have common musical interest? Because I know that when I talked about the Halifax pop explosion earlier, there was a perception that, well, Halifax is much closer to England than Toronto. Maybe that's why everyone sounds a little like the Kinks or the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or whatever. There seemed to be in the Maritimes, in Halifax in particular, a real interest in English music, British music. I don't know if I hear that as much, although you have a song called Swimming Pool that, you know, homage maybe to Brian Wilson's passing. I don't know.
Brian Jones.
Brian Jones. Sorry, I didn't mean to say Brian Wilson. Scratch that. Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones, who passed away in a swimming pool. Brian Wilson, very much alive. Doing fine. Anyway, sorry. Can we talk about that a little bit? Do you have
for sure
like a common group that you like or a band or
I think approach? So. I think that because we started this band when we were all in our, you know, late 20s, I think. Pretty sure. No one was 30 when we started the band. Maybe. But, you know, when you're really young starting a band, you're just kind of bringing whatever you've got
and maybe emulating others a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah. I think that it, when you know, when you're later and you've already kind of gone through your whatever phase, you go through phases of loving different bands. We were kind of at a point where we were sort of all agreed upon trying to paint in like primary colors, so like we were going back to, you know, you mentioned the Kinks and the I don't know, like bands like when we're in practice, the names that come up when I say to Mike, like, hey man, play that like CCR bass part. We're not saying like, you know, play that like Royal Trucks part, right? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of going back to classic rock stuff most of the time.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, we could talk about like Feely side projects and stuff, like we're into other things well, but like mainly we're talking about like, you know, T-Rex, Elvis Costello.
Yeah, when I walked in, you were blasting Elvis Costello and the Attractions, as I recall.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's the thing. You get off on the same music, so to speak.
I think the thing there is that Mike and I exchanged records at our birthdays, and I bought that record from Mike like 5 or 6 years ago.
Huh.
But now every time that I'm at Mike's, I go through his record collection and just pick the records that I've bought for him and put them on.
A subtle plug about how his record collection is far superior.
It's like, hey, remember when I got you this Elvis Costello record? Put it on and turn it way up.
It's losing its subtlety.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fascinating in itself. Are there things you disagree? Is there music that any one of you likes that the other one can't stand? I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, Broen really likes...
I knew this was going to come back to Broen. I just had a feeling he was going to be the odd person out here.
Broen likes two groups, I think. He likes anything Julian Casablancas does, so that's like the Strokes as well as the Voids.
Mm-hmm.
We all like, you know, those early Stroke stuff, but Broen is like pretty into anything, the new stuff and things. And he likes Kanye West.
Right. As
yeah.
I do.
I think that's
about those are the two, yeah.
What do you play in the band?
Drums.
You play the drums. So is there any Kanye or
wherever I can.
It's not a lot of Kanye room in this band,
from not
what
a lot
I can
of Kanye
tell.
Room.
No. Not a lot
off stage.
Yeah, they should get rid of me and just replace me with an 808 or something.
Do you have trouble being a Kanye? This comes up on the show all the time where I'm talking to someone about... I was talking to Sandro Perry about Kanye West, and I could tell he was uncomfortable that I brought him
really?
Up. Well, I knew that Sandro and I had been to some of the same Kanye West shows, but now it's very hard to reconcile the man with the music. Maybe it always should have been. Anyway, how are you feeling, Bruin?
For me, it's just all about the music. I don't really pay attention to whatever else. I mean, I honestly I don't even really like early Kanye West, which I think most people do. I really, for me, it's like Yeezus and Pablo. It's like, those are my favorite records. And I'm not really into other Kanye around that, to be honest. And then...
That's interesting.
And then politically, I'm not really on board with...
What about the... here's the thing I'm grappling with. And I don't mean to make this all about Kanye, guys. But the misogyny. Oh, my God. Like, it's really when you actually are like... Because I looked at all hip-hop with this weird prism of like, well, I guess that's just what's going on there. And I'm not going to deal with it. But now I'm like, oh, like these days, you can't. It's hard to reconcile. Like the Yeezus record? Oh, my God. Some terrible things on there.
I think you got to look at it almost in the same way that you look at it as being a, you know, performance thing. You kind of have to.
And production, just like the production on that record is stunning. I mean, I think it's like.
Which one?
Yeezus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so, too.
I think he's the best producer in the game in terms of just like sounds and stuff. And that's sort of what draws me to.
Okay. But there's no Kanye production influence in Kiwi Jr. at this point.
Not yet.
I don't think so.
But they're not yet. Did you hear
the
what
remixes
Ron said?
Are coming?
Yeah. Yeah. There could be some. He's very, I think he's very pervasive. I think he shows up in all sorts of car. I watch commercials, not as a point. I don't make a point of watching the commercials, but sometimes I'm hearing Kanye's influence on everything now, so
for sure
it's probably going
to
be in there.
I think a big part of that with commercials is they just want Kanye's songs, but they can't afford to
pay
for it.
They rip them off.
So I heard that. I hear that with like Vampire Weekend. I hear that with the Strokes.
I find a lot of commercials lately have songs in them that sound a lot like The Hives.
Oh yeah,
like
right.
These like quick four chord changes, and they're upbeat, and they sound so much like Hate to Say I Told You So or something, but they're just slightly different.
You know what's happening is people of my age, like early 40s, are getting these jobs, and
that's totally
their aesthetic,
right?
Right.
That makes sense,
it's happening with music festivals too, where you're like, why are all these like people reforming 90s bands? Well, it's because people like me are like, hey, can you? Here's $1 million. Can you get the Strokes back together or something? And they say, oh, okay, million's a little low for the Strokes, but still, that's what's happening. Anyway, this is a tangent. I started off at some point, maybe 10, 15 minutes ago, saying talking about regionalism and Toronto. And do you sing about the new Ho King at one point?
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite restaurants in Toronto.
Yeah.
Classic.
I like it. The Hunan Tofu and Rice, if I may promote that.
Wow.
I might get some right now.
Deep cut.
Yeah, it's good. So that's a thing you're doing a lot of on this record, is just singing about Toronto and Toronto landmarks that most people, like no one's going to know the new Ho King. I picked up on that because I'm a fan of the rice and the tofu. But like, why are you doing this?
I think it's more of an effort just to kind of have some real places, you know, some tactile things in the lyrics.
And it's clever too, because you make it sound like the new Ho King is like a king.
He's a guy.
He's a person.
Yeah, totally.
What's the line? Can you remember? Does anyone
forget all the ways and the names of the new Ho King?
Right.
Or the name and the ways of the new Ho King. Something
right.
Like that.
It sounds almost like a Led Zeppelin lyric or something, like a Tolkien thing.
Through the fields we follow the new Ho King.
That's just fascinating to me that I heard that right away, and I don't think a lot. I know that's just not something everyone's going to resonate with anyone. There's a danger in regionalism, particularly, and I just find it fascinating that you're technically not from Toronto, and you're kind of singing about it with these wide eyes of like, wow,
sort
look
of.
At, look
I mean,
these places.
I think there's, like I was saying earlier, like we didn't all just like move here and start a band like that, right?
Yeah.
Like I'd been living in Toronto probably 3 or 4 years before, for instance, like writing that song. A lot of it though is just like kind of, I lyrically tried to approach this record in a way that I wanted to write about things I know, things I'm experiencing, without it being a super confessional, emotional record.
There's a bit of dispassion going on.
Kind of, yeah. And like, I didn't want it to be, I wanted it to be personal, but I didn't want it to be, like I'm saying, emotional. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I wanted to write for adults. Like I remember reading this David Berman interview where he talked about like what Jew's record. It was American Water, I think, where he said I wanted to make a record for other 29-year-olds or something like that. And that's kind of the same idea that I was talking about on this record. Is I didn't want to make a record that maybe someone who was 19 would, be singing about the same things.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of songs like Salary Man, by the way, does anyone have a day job?
Yeah, we all do.
You all have day jobs. Well, man, you can't have a day job. You're an always. Yeah,
mostly Jeremy and Brown have your standard 9 to 5 Monday to Friday.
What do you mind me asking? I know it's maybe.
I won't get specific, but I work in Excel. No, I'm a librarian. I have a master's in library sciences.
Oh, okay.
And Brown's got a master's in journalism, and he does press release stuff for financial companies, I think. Does that make sense?
That sounds horribly boring, if I might say. No, I'm just kidding. That's an honest... But you sing in Salaryman of, yeah, that perspective of being an adult. You're not a 19-year-old. You're a salaryman. Are you singing about yourself a little bit?
Totally.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that song in particular, like, we're, you know, literally imagining ourselves if we were living in a different country, you know, maybe this would be better in Japan kind of thing. But it's like, no, I'm pretty sure you'd still be hungover on a streetcar. type thing, right? Like,
so is that a therapeutic thing for you to sing about being a worker?
No, I don't think it's therapeutic at all.
It's
just trying to be honest. I think you can feel honesty through lyrics when you hear it,
right? But is there a certain amount of frustration or anger in that, or just
I think it still exists, yeah,
it's still there,
yeah.
There's a Ren and Stimpy reference at one point.
Yeah, the Happy Happy Joy Joy.
Happy Happy Joy Joy, which everyone joins in a very nonchalant way, I noticed. Doesn't seem that
maybe
joyful.
Maybe not so Happy Happy
or
Joy.
Or not, it doesn't seem that way to me. Mike, do you guys talk about what's going on in the songs at all? Do you have conversations? Do conversations inform songs by any chance? Like, do you take, maybe this is a question for you actually. Mm-hmm. Do you take conversations with the band?
Absolutely.
And do they, like, do you hear yourself in these songs?
Be quite amusing moments where myself or someone else will mishear a lyric. Like, this happens often.
Oh, you do?
Because we'll be jamming out something relatively new or brand new, and Jeremy often just approaches the mic and sings, and he'll sing whatever comes to his head. And right. Then afterwards we'll sit down and I'll be like, oh man, I really liked that line you did about, you know, happy happy boy toy or something, and he'll be like, no, I said joy, like happy happy joy joy, and I'll be like, oh,
happy happy boy toy? That's what you thought he said?
No, I didn't actually.
Okay.
That's Mike's edit.
That's what he wished.
That's my edit. But yeah, any kind, there are like innumerable examples of that, of just us jamming out songs, us hearing something or thinking we hear something and just project it onto the song, and then that might end up as a part of the lyrics.
Okay.
Which is a really fun...
But also another good example, I think, is I remember we were on our way, we were in a taxi one time, and we were talking about, was it Paul Pogba?
Yeah.
Pogba just signed like a huge contract, soccer player. And we started talking about the idea of football money. It's like, you know, you have money and then you have football money. It's like millions and millions of pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
And that phrase, football money, we just were like latched onto immediately. And then like later on wrote the song about it.
Well, I don't, are you guys Parquet Courts fans at all?
Yeah, for sure.
Because they have a song.
I know. It came out like our record has been finished. Like that song has been recorded for like 2 years now.
Their song's called Total Football, I believe.
They're about different things, but yeah.
No, I just thought it was fast because I talked to them for this show as well, and we got into that a little bit because they're clearly singing about sort of Premier League soccer, but the end of the song,
Tom Brady.
Fuck Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting connection. Not to make this about Parquet Courts, I know which band I'm talking to right now, but I just think
big fans of them too.
I feel like I was kind of alluding to this, and like, I think for people who don't know the band, here's where I'm coming from with it, because I hear, and maybe you've heard all these things already as the reviews have come out and all that stuff, but there's a little bit of Modern Lovers, maybe. Is that there?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Are you fans? No one objects to
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, there's a little bit of that. I get a little Pavement sometimes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A little Pavement, okay. Mm-hmm. A little Parquet Courts, a little Kinks, a little Rolling Stones. That's where I'm coming from.
That's great, man.
Is this all there?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay,
yeah,
this is all good. But are people into these bands now? You're in your 30s, I'm in my 40s. I sometimes wonder what the state of rock and roll is.
I have no idea.
Right.
I mean,
you're writing smart, clever, inventive rock music at a time where rock music is kind of in a weird place in terms of, like, remember when rock music ruled all, and now this Kanye guy changed everything.
2001, you had the Strokes come up and it was
yes
with the Libertines and everyone else.
Oh, all the bands that followed. Yeah, it was
but
huge.
you got to be true to yourself. Like, I can already sense that Broen's not going to be in the band much longer because of the Kanye thing, and that's just who you guys are. You're
there's
going to
be
rock.
A section of Broen's Wikipedia that says Kanye scandal.
Now you're making music for yourselves, obviously, but. Is the reception to the music what you're maybe hoping it would be? Are you getting what you want out of people? Like, are people receiving it in the way you thought they would, or are they looking?
I think so. I mean, yeah. Even just hearing you name those four or five groups that you just said, yeah,
it's like
man.
Seven. I named like seven bands. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pumped about that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You know, we love all those groups, and we're firmly trying to make a cool rock record that I think is not. Particularly trendy or of a moment or anything, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
We're steering clear of like any kind of effects or whatever that's going to date us. So,
yeah, no, it doesn't seem like it's from any era, which I appreciate as well. You play in a bigger band now, Brian, with Always, right? And you've seen that's a how would you describe that band? How would you characterize the music you make?
The music of Always,
yeah,
guitar, pop.
It's pop.
Yeah, it's pop.
Is this band in the realm of pop, do you think, Kiwi Jr.?
Yeah.
It seems to me to be a pop band, but not heading for populism.
Oh, I don't think... I don't think you could... Definitely, it'd be weird to call it a pop band, but there's certainly elements of, you know, it's a lot of, like, four chords, you know?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Diatonic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're not like going way outside the, we're not like, you know, got all these weird angular changes or these weird time signatures and all that stuff. And I think, you know, that's kind of the definition of, or that's sort of the characteristics of popular music, which is pop music. You know what I mean?
I guess the subtext of what I'm getting at, and this can be awkward to talk about on some level, but I feel like guitar-oriented music is kind of in a weird place in terms of its overall cachet. It's not the stuff that used to be a very, very dominant form of music, and now it doesn't seem to have that power anymore.
For sure.
I think it's coming back.
Well, I think so, too.
I think, like, if you think about, like, the last Frank Ocean record and the last Kendrick Lamar record and stuff, like, there's a lot of guitar on both that stuff, and I think that guitar is kind of coming back.
You think so, eh?
Yeah, man.
Well, I'm firmly a guitar-oriented person. My son and I just got him a guitar. He's got a little Squire.
Nice.
And I'm trying to teach him an A chord. He can't play.
Is he a Strat guy or Tele?
Yeah,
guy?
we got two Strats.
Two Strats, yeah, Strat guys.
Matching Strats right
Strat
now.
Strat family.
Are you? Like or is anyone here a Strat person?
You're a Strat guy.
I love Strat.
You play a Tele.
I mean, I have both, but I love
the Strat. How would you characterize the difference between a Strat and a Tele? If that's what you play a Tele mostly?
Boss man Tele.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen the Bruce Springsteen. Leo Fender got Bruce Springsteen to write a like a little thing, blurb about the anniversary of the Strat, and it's quite funny. You should read it when you get a sec. But
it's funny.
Oh, it's very so funny. Funny, man.
Why is it funny?
Because he writes the whole thing about, like, you know,
he's the ultimate Tele guy.
Yeah, you know, Springsteen only plays a Tele, yeah. But somehow they asked him to write a thing about Strat. And
once in a while, he might play a Strat if he's like guesting with
so
someone.
He's got this whole, yeah, you know, letter about blah, 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 Fender. And he ends it in all caps, Boss Man Tele.
I think he said, like, he was like, I'll have the Tele wrapped around my chest in the coffin, and until you want me to write something about the Tele, you know, like, basically go away or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Stratocaster's more round, you know. Telecaster's a bit more, like, a bit sliced through a bit more.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, I don't know if
What's going on? There's like a weird beer run going on.
I don't know what's going on. I hear a can opening.
Brown went to get a couple of beers and he forgot to open them. And I was like, don't open them on mic.
Jesus Christ. Come on, Brown. Get in here. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, no, we were just talking about guitar-oriented music. And anyway, I just wonder how you feel about it. How you feel about like...
I'm super... When you were asking that question of like pop band or whatever, I don't know. Different people define that stuff differently.
Yeah,
but it's too broad.
I like to say that we're just a guitar band, like, right? Like, it's guitar music. It's so oriented around guitar and guitar chords and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy to say it's guitar music, you know? Yeah.
No, it clearly is. I wonder if there's like a ceiling, like a limit these days, but you're saying you think it's on the come up. It's coming back.
Kind of. I don't know that there's any... I think that... The innovative stuff that's coming out now is that it's guitars being used in like, you know, R&B a little bit more, hip hop, like I was saying, that Frank Ocean record Lacey record that came out, you know, he's great. And
they're often treated a lot like they're put through processing.
There's always like a ton of chords and
lots
stuff.
Of chords.
I think of Saint Vincent as one of the most inventive guitarists going right now, and what For she sure. does with the guitar is like, I don't know of anyone really doing stuff like
she's
and
a,
like,
there's she's a shredder.
The new Royal Trux record too,
yeah,
like I don't know anyone who plays guitar like him.
So. Yeah, like Neil. Yeah.
There's a cool like acoustic movement happening too with like the new Wise Blood and like Big Thief and those bands like bringing back that like 70s, which is also very guitar oriented. Like bringing back the acoustic guitar is cool.
Well, I pivoted to you there, Brian, and always because you've seen the opposite of what I'm saying. Like your band has ascended, being ostensibly a guitar oriented band, right?
Yeah, I mean, we there's a keyboard that's very heavily featured.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
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 In the band, but
you're seeing and you're playing with other bands with guitars. I don't know where my point is here. Here's the thing, guys. I'm worried about Kiwi Junior. I'm worried about your future. I want you to do well. I like the record.
So are we.
And I want you to do fine, but I just worry about the environment we're in. But you seem to be fine with it. You seem to think everything's going fine, and that's your perception of things, and that's how you're going to live. I don't know what to say.
I mean, we're leaning, you know, we've got our future in Microsoft Excel.
So are there other themes on the record that have come up, maybe external to you? I've pointed out a couple of things I've noticed, I suppose, but are there things about the record's reception that have surprised you in terms of what people have picked up on?
No, I mean, I anticipate Pavement comparisons, like any band that I've ever been in is kind of...
Are you a Pavement fan?
Yeah, but the funny thing about it is like a band that I used to play in, like I remember being 19, maybe 18, never having been, you know, listened to Pavement at the time, and sending our demo CD to a label and then coming back like, oh my god, you guys sound like Pavement, I like this. And I was like, yeah, I don't really know them. And then sending like a greatest hits type thing because they were so excited by it. And
sorry, who sent you? Someone?
This is like, I sent like our demo to a label and then responding by saying that you guys sound like Pavement, and I said I never really got into Pavement. I was only like 19 or whatever, and they sent like a curated kind of playlist.
Oh, they sent it to you.
Yeah, being like, oh my god, you don't. And I listened.
It's a bit heavy handed, isn't it?
Well, and then I was like, oh wow, we do have the same like natural kind of vocal range and stuff. And I don't know. I think we're both Lou Reed fans.
Yes, there's a lot of something's going on with the Lou Reed record, Coney Island Baby.
Totally, man.
And I feel like Napa's and maybe you guys a little bit, like your energy level is a bit higher than some of the bands that we've been talking about, but something's going on.
Yeah, for sure, man. And like, we're friends with the Napa's guys too, and we played with them, I think, probably like 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And after the show, Nigel was like, man, we got to just like sit down and talk about like, you know, Lou Reed and stuff sometime. And that's like, yeah. And like go-betweens and stuff.
Yeah. It's great. Like I actually am jazzed about like all of this because I like that music. But it's, that's all I was getting at. I worry. I hope you keep making this music because it's great. But yeah, beyond that, lyrically, we talked about the regionalism and you've talked about how you kind of want to write a bit objectively, not personally. Do you guys all feel like you're getting that we're getting a version of Jeremy that's like accurate to him? Like are we getting a portrait of him from his songs that is close to him actually, or is it totally just a persona almost?
Oh, it's all one big facade for sure. No, I'm joking. No, for sure. I think that for sure, especially with songs like Salary Man and you know, obviously there are some songs on the record that are a bit more narrative and stuff, or a bit more like of a outside narrative, but definitely, yeah.
I think I'm snarky enough on the record that I am in real life.
You seem a little snarky, like slightly snarky.
He's snarkier in real life, though.
Is that right?
It's a funny thing about listening to the 10-track album, though. What you don't get, I'm assuming, is just how many songs didn't make the cut, and that says a lot about Jeremy's personality. Just because he does have a critical nature, and that criticism is often applied to the band itself and to songs that we've all come up with together and we may have felt very strongly about. So then we trim down from so many songs to the ones that are heard on the record itself. So that's a funny thing that I don't know if you could ever get from, you know, you might say, oh, like 27, 28 minute record, it goes by in a breeze or it's really quick.
Yeah.
But a lot of that came from having created a lot more and then having restricted ourselves because it was, you know, because we didn't feel strongly enough about it. And to Jeremy's credit, he just has...
Trim the fat.
Yeah, exactly. He's really hard on the songs, the band, everyone.
What was your line the other day? don't bore us, no chorus?
Yeah, I wrote that. I actually got that printed on the... I don't know if you've seen it yet, but the LP on the lyric sheet at the top, I've got it printed in bold to don't bore us, no chorus.
Now, wait, what does that mean exactly?
Well, you know the Tom Petty line? Don't bore us, get to the chorus.
Right.
Don't bore us, no chorus.
No chorus.
So okay. No repetition.
Right.
So I think if you listen to our record, there's maybe one, two songs that have an actual chorus.
Yeah. Salary Man, maybe?
No. Yeah. I changed the lyrics both times.
It's kind of a hook.
Yeah, there are, you know, I mean, I think it's, there are like things that you think are choruses, but there's no refrain maybe is what I'm actually
thinking. Yeah, maybe
you're
right. Yeah. What is that?
There's no free falling.
You know. I don't know. If you've heard a chorus and then you know the verse and then you got the pre-chorus and then you know the chorus is coming again, just, why wouldn't you just like fast forward to that? You know, like hear what the person's got to say next.
Trying to destroy all of music structure. Like
I just think that like if you've got an opportunity to say something, you should say it. So like if you have space where a chorus was and the first time you said blah, 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 the next time just switch it up.
Right.
That is why we named the record Football Money too, is like we couldn't really come up with like a particular record name. We were just going to call it self-titled.
That's what my phone thinks it's called.
I know. I'm going to fix that, man. Heads are going to roll.
Not so smartphone.
Heads are going to roll. No, but, and then I was thinking people were arguing maybe we should be self-titled. And I thought you know, when you're releasing a record, you're given a blank canvas, right?
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
given a space to type in what the record could be called, and you have a chance to say something, so you should say it.
So these, how many songs didn't make it?
To probably the, like five.
Okay, so what's going to become of those? I mean, they weren't up to
LP par. LP2.
Are they okay? Are they good songs?
Yeah, we play them live.
Some of them we play live, yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, man, we got one song in particular that I think was like the third song we wrote, and we recorded it five times, and at the end, it just like didn't really cut it.
I heard
the song itself is we're really happy with. It's just like how it sounds. It didn't really cut it. So
it also didn't fit. There's a sense of sequence to the whole thing.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
So when we were getting set up here, I heard someone say, maybe it was you, Jeremy, that how many times have you attempted to make this album?
Well, it's not like we sat down and we're like, we're going to make the LP and we've, you know, given up and gone to a different studio and like that. It didn't really happen like that. It's more so like... we've recorded probably like three or four times before eventually getting into a session where we were happy with all the songs.
But you didn't record these particular songs?
A lot of them, yeah.
Okay, so whose call was it to say, I'm not happy with this? Was it a collective decision or you?
Not me. I think everybody.
I think it was pretty collective.
It was.
There was a moment there where like a lot of the songs were kind of in this nether region of like they weren't charming and lo-fi, nor were they like impressive and good sound.
They weren't radio ready, but they also weren't like, oh, cool
scrappy lo-fi.
Yeah,
so they were just kind of nothing, like in that nether region. That was like totally unflattering to all of us, so we just had to keep, you know, we were kind of banging our heads against the wall for a while, but we got there.
Okay, so do you make all decisions collectively?
Yeah, we have so many email threads.
Oh yeah,
about all this stuff, man.
You have how many email threads?
How many emails was on the? So we played the
we
Baby
broke
G.
80.
We played the Baby G last week. Our record release sold it out. No big deal.
Congratulations.
Sold it out.
How many emails were on that thread? I think it was 82 by the time it was
80.
Over.
I remember you were marking the 80 mark. You were celebrating it.
What were the emails about?
Just all the bullshit guest lists.
Broen being like, do I have to bring a hi-hat stand?
Yeah, Broen needing
to. Like, yeah, you might as well.
Why wouldn't you need to bring a hi-hat stand? It's one of the things you play. Who did you think was going to bring the hi-hat stand?
I hate bringing drums. When we can get another band to bring the drums, that is.
No, I'm with you on this, but I'm usually the other band. I usually am the one that's like, yeah, you can use my drums, I guess, you jackasses.
That's heaven for me. It's just showing up and the other bands brought the drum. I'm just like, this is a good show.
I think you've earned a new nickname, Backline Broen. That's your nickname. That's amazing. Well, that's ridiculous. I don't even understand. You're the drummer. It's the part of the job.
Maybe we should only play with your band.
Make life for Broen much easier. Okay, so you have collective discussions. Do you have collective discussions about the lyrics? Or
Sometimes, yeah, man. Like, mostly like Mike, I'd say, sometimes will be like, hey, you say this. It might be better if you just nudge that slightly and say this. But
you're a songwriter, Mike?
Mike is a Concordia University creative writing dropout.
Oh, your background is creative writing.
That would seem a stretch at first, but I do like to dabble in different sorts of creative writing. Sure.
Do you have a day job?
Not exactly.
He's
more
a bartender.
More of an evening job. Bartender, okay. That kind of thing.
Where do you do that?
Exactly. Dundas and Ossington.
Okay, that's right. You just pick the street corner.
Yeah.
Everyone all will have to guess the bar.
Southeast corner? Northwest corner?
Southeast.
Okay. All right.
So you assist sometimes with some of the songwriting.
Yeah, I mean, it stretches from anything from hanging out and playing riffs together, right? And you land on a certain spot and you're like, oh, this riff should do something here with this space.
What do you play?
So, yeah, I play bass.
You're the bass player.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty hammerheaded, to be honest, when
you
it comes to lyrics.
Way. No, you seem that way. You seem a bit like a hammerhead shark.
Well, I don't know,
you take
a
bite out of someone who... stubborn and all that.
I like to give
him a lot of ideas. I think that's something that should be said. I give Jeremy too many ideas.
Like Salary Man was totally Mike's ideas. Idea.
As a song?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you a wannabe songwriter? Do you write your own songs or do you just help other people write their own songs? Do you wish you could write songs?
Wishing's a funny thing. I like to... This is going to sound really weird.
Wishing
loud,
is a funny thing.
like facilitating and helping people... like improve upon what they're best at is like I would like to do that. That's
okay.
Kind of like, yeah, enhancement, helping other people.
Enhancement.
Like yourself.
Yeah, please help me. What can I do?
This is good.
Exactly. You're helping me. I need help. I'm just struggling to get through this thing. No, that's fascinating though.
Help.
Do you ever write songs?
On occasion, okay. For sure. Yeah. I brought him
well,
up
also,
to you as well.
This,
and,
me
you know,
that.
This is like, yeah.
He sent me that Wicked song. I remember that hearing that song like 8 years ago or 10
yeah,
years
like
ago.
Yeah, like another thing to keep in mind too is like, for instance, like these guys write songs and send them to me and I might just change the lyrics, right? And that might be a Kiwi song. Like, I know there's at least 2 songs on the record that were Broen's songs and then I just took the chord changes and just rewrote.
So you all contribute...
Yeah,
a song per se, like a with the music, or,
yeah,
kind of
chord
the whole thing.
You know, chord changes. I might just take the chord changes and just you know,
and maybe,
it's
yeah,
sometimes
some
it's like super hard to come up with chord changes, right? Mm.
Oh yeah, not a day goes by that I can't come up with a good chord change. That's how I feel about.
I don't know. It's like I remember that Tom Waits quote, like why he's shifted away from piano during like Swordfish Trombones or something, and it was like your hands are like old dogs that go to familiar places.
Yeah.
So if you like, I don't know, I'm 30 years old, I sit down a guitar, I'm gonna go to G, C, and D, you know? Whereas like if somebody else just like gives you chords, you can kind of
take that
and do something new.
Okay,
with that.
This is interesting. So it's a very collaborative outfit. It's not simply you're writing the lyrics and that's the way it goes. It's everyone sort of chips in.
Totally, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm learning stuff. It's a democracy. Also an East Coast thing. Maritime spans. Everybody has an equal hand in there. That's just seems
all,
to be
all
a,
hands on deck, you know.
Seems
pretty
to
much.
Be something
yeah,
about the region.
Yeah, I think so, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
So you've got 5 songs roughly towards maybe another record. What else is going on?
Oh, we got loads of tunes, man.
Very cocky about the number of songs you have. that we haven't
heard yet.
You
want songs? We got songs, man.
You're on
Mint. The Hammerhead Shark over here.
You're on Mint Records, which is based in Vancouver. You're from Charlottetown. Had to go all the way to the other side of the country to get someone to put out your record. That's a good record label, though. That wasn't meant to be disparaging. I'm sure anyone anywhere would put out the record.
I understand.
But how did that relationship come about?
We just sent them the record.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was through the going back to the Napis.
Monomyth.
Josh Salter. Yeah,
great guy.
I think one of us sent him the record, and then he sent it to Ryan at Mint, and they dug it. And in true form of as to how cool Mint is, they were, you know, they kind of signed us based on the music rather than based on the fact that we have a booking agent or the fact that we have clout or anything like that. They're very cool like that.
Yeah, Mint's awesome.
Something that's kind of lacking maybe a little bit in the music scene, but yeah, they're great. We actually just met them on Thursday at their release show.
Yeah, they flew
Toronto?
Our release show. They
that's nice.
A few Mint people flew in for the show.
Yeah. Were you Skyping or FaceTiming or?
I talked on the phone with them for hours and emails and stuff. But yeah, it was nice to finally meet them after.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun. Moment.
Many emails.
Yeah, the night before the show.
That's so
we
nice.
Got to go out and meet them for a drink.
That's
great.
Sweet. Yeah, they're great, and the label's doing. I feel like it's doing really well with. You mentioned Monomyth, the Jay Arner record that came out a little while ago. All the records, the Dumb record, your record's great. So
yeah.
Something's
yeah, they're smart
tough
people.
Age.
Yeah, just Tough to, Age, of course.
Just went to Japan, I think.
Yeah, yeah. They're still there making fun of stuff on Twitter. The Tough Age follow Tough Age on Twitter. It's always funny.
Cool.
Anyway, so when's the new record going to start?
We're
going
to try to record this summer.
This summer, okay.
Yeah, the thing is, man, is also like, these songs that are, the record came out last month, the songs that are on it probably were all written in like what, 2017?
Yeah, they're older.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know.
Some old, some older than others.
Yeah, but I just mean that like, you know, we've taken a couple of years to write new songs that didn't make it on the record kind of thing.
Anything like, what if the new Ho King shut down? No one would know what you're talking about at all.
I don't think New Ho King's going anywhere.
Well, I hope not. I might go
especially
there,
especially after the plug tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are all these people coming in all of a sudden? They must have heard this episode. Yeah,
let's get some endorsement deals out of this. Huh?
I should give them a record.
You should. Okay, so any sense of what the new songs might be kind of about? We've talked about some of the stuff.
We've got a couple of songs that just didn't make the record because we weren't super happy with how they sounded.
Yeah.
We're going to try to redo. The other ones, there's like a little bit more political, a couple other songs that are...
Political? In what sense?
I don't know, maybe Dofo inspired.
Oh, okay. Doug Ford. I have a international audience. Someone in Italy is not going to know what Dofo means. I'm
I
just
mean,
saying.
Not like...
I have one listener in Italy.
Doug Ford, but like, you know, I don't know.
Right. Well, yeah, geez, it's ruining everything.
I kind of like have taken the past couple of years to try to, you know, like I was saying, write about what I know and what's happening around me.
Yeah.
As opposed to what's happening inside me.
Is that going to continue?
Yeah.
That seems to be a process you like.
Yeah, I think so. And so, I don't know, we've got one song called Undecided Voters that we've been playing live a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People have been reacting to quite nicely. I mean, I don't know. We're not the Clash. We're not like super political or anything
not one
like
of the,
that.
I didn't mention the Clash when I mentioned like seven bands earlier. I did not say the Clash. So.
We're going after Thatcher on this next record.
Yeah. Retroactively political.
That would be
Pat Binns, PC government of Prince Edward Island circa 1999 is going down.
Mulroney's going down. They're all going down.
It feels like all those kinds of people and platforms are back. Like I feel like you were making jokes, but I feel like that's what's happening. Someone's gone back and brought all those ideas back, and now here we are. Anyway,
it's rock and roll and politics, like we said about bands coming back.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of amazing records came out of that Thatcher era, though. You know, you look at like the Smiths and the Stone Roses and the Clash and all that stuff.
Also, even like Destroyer Ken. He talks about like how that's like Thatcher rock.
Yeah. Yes, I mentioned that on my show.
I know.
Yeah. Did you hear that episode? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, I appreciate the fact that your band's around. What's coming up kind of next for you guys beyond the recording in the summer? Do you have shows or anything?
Yeah, I mean, we got a show, I think, April 25th at the Horseshoe. And I think we're playing in Hamilton
on May 15th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Check out our Instagram.
Yeah, how do people learn more about Kiwi Junior?
Probably just go to our Instagram. That's like the only social media that we're kind of updating.
Do you have a website or anything?
Yeah, we got a Bandcamp too.
Yeah, Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
There's a Facebook.
Facebook. You got all the stuff?
I don't know, man.
LinkedIn. Do we have a LinkedIn?
No LinkedIn.
Should have
no
a LinkedIn. Kiwi Junior LinkedIn. Oh, should be amazed.
God, damn it.
You'd be surprised who's going to apply. Probably a drummer that doesn't mind setting up their own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably a drummer who's not a James Franco fan.
All right. Well, why don't we go out on a song from Football Money? Who wants to pick one? Or do you want to?
I'll pick one.
Well, that's not very democratic at okay. all.
Do you know what I want to do? I want to have Broen pick one because Broen didn't talk that absolutely. Much tonight.
Well, there's good reason. Okay, Broen. Now's your time to shine, my friend. What do you want to hear?
We're going to go with Gimme More. Gimme More is the...
Give so me what's more. This song about, Broen?
It's all about wanting more.
And Jim. You're actually featured in the lyrics, aren't you?
I am. My name comes up in the lyrics, yeah.
What's the lyric?
It's the opening line. It's like, give me more, bro and more. Give me four on the floor.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying, bro and more?
Give me more, bro and more. Give me four on the floor.
He's
the
drummer. Yeah.
Oh, four on the floor. That's a drum beat. That's a good drum beat.
That's correct.
Can you replicate the drum beat with your mouth right now? With your mouth in your hands?
Like a... Yes. I mean, the answer is yes. Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay, good. That's good. All right, this is Give Me More. It's a weird song to end an interview with because we're done. But still, Give Me More by Kiwi Junior. Thank you so much, all of you, for being on my show. I really appreciate it, and best of luck with everything going forward.
Thanks for having
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Vish.
Thanks, Vish. Give me more, grow it more. Give me four on the floor.
Special thanks to all of the members of Kiwi Junior for appearing on this, the 400
and 73rd episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all iOS and Android platforms and YouTube, Spotify, Audio Boom. It's all over the place. If you're looking for an episode and you can't find it, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, please visit my website, vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at vishcreative, or follow me directly at vishkana. You can also listen to a radio show version of Creative Control on Wednesdays at noon Eastern Standard Time around the world at cfru.ca, or on an actual radio at 93.3 FM if you're in or near Guelph. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going. We need your help financially to keep this podcast going, so I hope you will consider visiting patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, Planet Bean Coffee, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton for their in-kind support for this show. And thank you, as always, to my friend Jim Guthrie for letting me use a song of his to end the show each and every week. Go to jimguthrie.org to learn more about him. And finally, last but not least, thank you for listening to this program and subscribing to the podcast and telling your friends about it and suggesting they do all of those things that you do. It really means a lot. And that's all I have to say for now. I will talk to you very, very soon. Goodbye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.